we're now going to move on to George Maher, who's going to talk to us about the insurance risk attached to the insurance cycle, and particularly focusing on the issues of premium risk competitive market cycles. And he's going to start off in an unusual place, I understand.
What I'm going to do is talk for 10 or 15 minutes about the underwriting cycle, whatever that is. And I'd like to start off by briefly drawing some analogies with one or two other industries. And the first slide I have is one which I've borrowed from a colleague of mine, Chris Waits. And this is the pig cycle. And the pig cycle starts in the middle of this, where you've got period one. And in period one, pig prices are low. Now, while I don't know much about the industry and its dynamics, it appears that when the prices are low, small numbers of pigs are raised. There are small numbers of pigs therefore for sale as you go around following the arrows. And the prices then rise. High prices and capitalist mentality, large numbers of pigs are raised. There are large numbers of pigs for sale. The prices then fall, and we go around again in this cycle. And the factors which probably give rise to this phenomenon in the pig raising industry are low entry costs, an undifferentiated product, and steady demand. And one can perhaps draw some analogies between this cycle, because it goes round in a circle rather than anything else, a point to which I'll return, and some parts of the insurance market. And it's not just pigs. I mean, you can look at other industries. The industry which makes the wavy bits, if you remember, that go into boxes, is also subject to a cycle. As capacity for producing that stuff increases, prices go down and so forth. And one of the large players within that market historically at the time of falling prices because of high manufacturing capacity, go on an acquisition spree, acquire manufacturing capacity and shut it down as its way of managing the cycle. Now, that's a cycle insofar as it goes around the circle. And here is a picture of what we think of when we think of the underwriting cycle. This is motor insurance loss ratios, not combined ratios. The green line on the top is the Irish market, and the one underneath is the UK market. In around about 2000, you can see that there's a bit of a blip in the Irish market, which would, of course, mess up any theory of underwriting cycles, or maybe not. But that is one company very substantially correcting its reserving position. But if you cut through that, you get what you want to get out of it. You can look at this and you can say we have got underwriting cycles here. They are strongly correlated between these two different jurisdictions. You could alternatively say that we've got two wavy lines. One shouldn't be too dismissive of the second point of view, because if you talk about a cycle, you do expect to have something such as perhaps constant periodicity and perhaps constant amplitude, and it's not immediately clear that we necessarily do have these features here. What we do have is periods where the business is clearly unprofitable, and we have periods when the business is clearly very profitable, and we don't have relentless and unceasing increases in the losses. As they get up to a certain point, the trend reverses itself. Fundamentally, I think what we've got here is we've got an industry in which you have periods of profit, and they are followed by periods of loss. And as the periods of profit become longer and longer and longer, it becomes more and more certain. As the periods of loss become longer and longer, it becomes more and more certain that the periods of profit will emerge. So it's more that feature rather than a well-defined cycle, which, in my view, and you may disagree, exists here. Now, the causes of the cycle, and so there are some common theories, and And it's quite interesting that there are a lot of theories, and I don't think that there is necessarily any great consensus as to what actually is causing all of this. If we go back to my pig cycle, we maybe have something about entry costs and commodity products as being part of the causation. Macroeconomic cycles are attributed to it, are given as causes. Loss shocks, typically after a large event, it's quite common for prices to adjust themselves. Reserve smoothing, underwriting management, and also the slow feedback cycle. Insurance is relatively unique in that it's not certain what the cost of sales are at the point of sale, and the slow feedback cycle has an impact, I believe, on the cycle. As Tony stopped and asked whether there were any questions, I might do the same. I mean, do people agree with these theories or think that there are others? Do people think there is a cycle? So I shall go on. At the end of this presentation, I've got seven.
Sorry, I think in my mind, there's no doubt there's an underwriting cycle to a certain extent, but the question I think we try to arrive at is what happens at a one-in-turn 100-year event, and what does that look like, and whether underwriting cycles are of any use as far as the ICA calculation is concerned. So in a 1-in-200-year event, you know, does it mean that if you are in the middle of a downturn of underwriting cycle, will that mean, what impact will that have on that particular simulation that you're looking at?
So your question is, granted that they exist, do they have any impact on the ICA, if I understand it?
Exactly, yeah, and what impact that would be.
What impact would they have? And since this is meant to be a discussion, does anyone have any comments? I think it does. I think it does have. I think it does have an impact. And I think that if you're at a period when you are looking into the future at conditions which are such that you are likely to make losses, I think an argument can be put. And again, it depends on the timescale over which you have to capitalise yourself. An argument can be put that you need more capital than if you're in a part of the cycle where over the next 3 years it is likely that under most scenarios you will make money. And I suspect that generally is going to be a significant contributor to the capital requirements of the company.
Even when we don't have lags in management information, imagine if we had perfect information immediately about the claims that have happened, The claims do fluctuate across periods.
Sure.
And so I think we have to recognise that for some of our product lines, like weather-related events or liability-related events, we don't actually know the cost of the product we're selling, and we're sort of equalising it over time.
Sure.
And so even if we knew immediately how it was this year compared to last year, I think we likely would still have some sort of cycle. I don't know.
No, I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
The fact that you're now supposedly at the bottom of the cycle or perceived as such doesn't mean necessarily that things will improve in the future. So rather than a cycle, I think there are a lot of lines, certainly short tail lines, where there's more sort of random volatility of rating levels.
I didn't quite catch the question. Is the question, is there a difference between long-tailed lines and short-tailed lines?
But it wasn't really a question, it was more a comment that on the word cycle in this sense, is there always, is it, I think it's not always a cycle, but it's more a random movement of rates, where you don't know that if it's low now, it's going to be high in the future, and vice versa.
I think that's think that's true. I mean, I think there's a large element of unpredictability about it. I think there is quite a strong connection between conditions this year and conditions last year, and between this year and next year. But I think it is very unpredictable. And I think if you look at previous soft markets, say the aviation market, there were years when things were clearly so bad that it was perfectly obvious that next year things would correct themselves, and they didn't. And I think the unpredictability is a very important part of it. So some other thoughts on the underwriting cycle. It's a well-documented feature of the insurance industry. It is much, much, much more talked about now than it was 5 or 7 years ago. I think there is widespread, if I may say so, widespread belief in its existence. But I think we still have denial, and there can be conflicts of interest within organisations which lead to that denial. I put up here it's about 7 years on average, and that more or less corresponds to the first slide. And whether it will be that in the future is another matter. Companies do adopt strategies around the cycle, and there are two there. My personal view is that if you ignore the cycle within your strategy, you are at risk of riding for a fall. And I do think that successful strategies are those which incorporate this somewhere. One strategy is profit from volumes at good prices. So come into a market, write a lot of business when it's clearly the case that the business is profitable, and then exit. And you could argue that's a strategy that some people have employed through qualifying quota shares in the Lloyd's market. Another is, you know, accept the price. If a technical price is 80 and the market price is 70, you're going to do business at 70. So another strategy is accept the price, protect brand, and batten down the hatches as you go through the stormy seas. And then the other point here is how much can the loss ratio vary from year to year? And there are random fluctuations coming from different sources, number of events being different to expected, and so forth. Things to consider in relation to the insurance cycle are whether new business will generate a capital strain, whether it generate profits, and whether we can meet the business plans with the existing capital. A way to model it, and what matters quite a lot here also is the time frame over which we're looking at the capital. Things are easier, not totally easy, but easier if we're looking at 1 year than out over 3 or 5 years. But one way is towards the bottom of the slide is look at prior loss ratios, long-term average loss ratios, and random components around it, and also to produce straightforward but important diagnostics showing that the history of the profitability of this class of business for the last 5 or 10 years, and then what we think it's going to be like in the next 1, 3, and 5, and does that make sense just at that level? And some of the parameters that we need to put around this are as much guesswork as anything else, and they can be quite significant contributors to the size of the answer. It doesn't sit on its own. It's interlinked to other things. There are connections with the economic environment. There's a connection between the future profitability of the business and operational risks, and clearly the profitability will depend on how management view the market in which they operate, and how optimistic are they in their beliefs about their capabilities to react to market changes, to even know what market changes are on a timely basis. And there's a connection between the underwriting cycle and the reserving cycle. If we're underestimating reserves, we're probably underestimating the ultimate loss ratio for the most recent underwriting year. We're probably underestimating the true technical price, and vice versa. And so it doesn't entirely sit in isolation. There is the reserving cycle, which has some correlation to the underwriting cycle. Two points I want to take out of this slide. One is a quantification point, which is in the first bullet point, and then the risk management points, which are in the third bullet point. And I think ICA are about two things. One is coming up with a number, but I think more important than that is the company demonstrating that it understands the risks within its business. And that it can demonstrate that, and that the understanding is at senior level and board level. And understanding actually is quite an interesting word, because inevitably in any organization there is someone who understands all of these risks, someone who understands this risk, someone who understands that risk, and so forth. But it's actually the consensus about this understanding and the appreciation at a senior level that, for example, there is an underwriting cycle, and we can't just rely on the belief that should things get a bit worse, then we will immediately react. I mean, it has to be more than that. Under the first bullet point, sub-bullet point, under the third bullet point, what is the firm's ability to withstand the cyclical pressure? How does it intend managing the cycle? Those are quite involved pieces of analysis. I mean, how does this organization intend to manage the cycle? What exactly will we do? So those were some thoughts on this tricky and important question, and I've put up some questions to prompt discussion. And I might even wonder whether we might have a show of hands on some of these. Perhaps on this first the first question. I mean, will the underwriting cycle continue? I mean, perhaps we might have those who want to vote that it will continue might raise their hand. And then those brave and wiser individuals who think that it's all over might. And Andrew is right as ever. Does the cycle have capital implications? It's a trickier question, I think. Yes, first, those who think yes, and those who think no. And could I perhaps ask whether someone might want to say why it doesn't or why it does have an implication?